Thank you, Becca. During the children's sermon this morning, Karen said Jeremiah was to be a king. And what she meant to say was Jeremiah was going to be over the kings. Jeremiah, she wanted me to correct her on that mistake, which I never get to do, and especially publicly. So what a day it is for me. I'm just kidding. But I want you to think about something with me this morning. And you can look at the screen and you can see, "Hello, my name is." And you know, whether you like it or not, everyone in here has a name tag. You have something written upon your name tag. And the question is, what is on your name tag? What does your name tag say? When people are walking by, what do they see and what do they read about who you are? And if you've ever been to a meeting or a conference or a large gathering where you had to wear this name tag, I'm sure you've been there. Maybe in Vacation Bible School, we put little name tags on our workers and maybe on our kids. Where I work, I have to wear an ID badge, and all the people around us wear an ID badge. And on that ID badge, it may say my name and what I do and where I'm from. And maybe if you've been to this conferences, there are some conferences I've been to that punch a hole in your name tag if you are going to eat the meal at the conference, or they have all sorts of different information upon the name tag, maybe where you're from or what school or company you're with. Maybe even says what sessions that you're going to attend at the workshop. And in our word this morning, Peter also tells us that we have a spiritual name tag. And I don't know that you've gone to the book of 1 Peter and read about your spiritual name tag, but I want us to do that this morning. We've been given a spiritual name tag, and it should reveal a whole lot about who we are. That spiritual name tag should be foretelling of who Billy Dawson is in his Christian walk, in his spiritual life. And I don't know that you've ever taken the time or noticed in 1 Peter chapter 2, but we're going to do that just today. We're going to see what it says and see what it should say about us, and we have to decide if that's truly the case in our own life. So if you have your Bibles, we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 4 through 7. As you came to him, the living stone. I want everybody to say the living stone. That's an oxymoron, right? Have you ever seen a living stone? Have you ever seen a rock that is alive? Why is that in the Bible? It is a living stone. I've never walked by a stone and thought, boy, that stone is alive. It just moved. Now, we measure stones by weight and size and color and how they would look on something, but have you ever measured one and said, that thing's alive? Well, that's what verse 4 says. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, that would be me and you, right? We're living stones too, right? You also, like living stones, are being what? Built. You're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 6. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Now, a living stone. That's just different, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever read that verse and thought, what? Wait a minute. A living stone? What is a living stone? It doesn't seem like those two words, living and stone, would go together. In fact, you would have to say that such a stone that would be living would be a rare commodity. It was something that would be hard to find. It's something that would be very uncommon. It's something that you wouldn't see all the time. It would be very special. And that's what the first thing that needs to be on our name tag. Our name tag needs to say, I am a what? Living stone. What does that mean? That means I'm uncommon. That means I'm unique. That means I stand out in the crowd. That means there's not many of me. That means I am different. That means I am a follower of Jesus Christ. That means I stand up and I want you to know, because it's on my name tag, I am a living stone. That's who I am. I want to be unique. You and I are living stones. You and I are living stones. We are to stand out. We are to be different. We are not to blend in with the world. That's not who we were created to be. The Bible says, who lights a candle and hides it under the bushel? Who does that? We are to be different. We are not to be a blended people into the world. We are valuable, but we're rare. We are very rare in our world today. But yet we try to make ourselves just like everybody else. We try to make ourselves blend in. We try to become part of the world. And Peter says, as he starts this book, that we are strangers in this world. Have you ever been to a place where you can't speak the language? Everybody around you is speaking it, you can't speak it, and you truly feel like a stranger. You're completely out of place. You can't communicate. You have no idea what's going on because it's different. Boy, do you stand out. Do you stand out as someone different? And as Christians, we too should speak a different language. We too should be a little bit different in the way we stand out. I remember when Paul put it this way. He said, the world is dead to the things of God, but God called you out of that dead world into a glorious life. He called you. Do we still live like we're part of this dead world, or are we a little different? Do we stand out? Are we unique? When do I blend into the world? When do I blend? The simple answer is this, is if there's no tension or if there's no conflict between you and the world, then you're blending. If there's no tension and conflict between you and the world, then you're probably blending in. In that case, I've taken something that is so rare and I have made it so common. Don't we do that? We take Jesus, which is such a rare commodity, and we make Him so common. And we do that in our own life. In that case, am I really living up to my name tag? You know, we have a name tag out in front of this church. It says Second Baptist Church, but you know what? It says more than that. That's just the name of the building. But what does the name tag say? When people hear Second Baptist Church, when they read Second Baptist Church, what's our name tag say? Well, it should say that we're a house full of living stones. That we're a house full of living stones. Secondly, my name tag tells me that I am a work in progress. Notice verse 5 again. It says, also, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Peter's telling me, he's saying, Billy, you are being built into a spiritual house. He's saying, you are not finished. You are being constructed. You are under construction. as each of us are. We are under construction as to what we should see. And we should notice progress along the way. And we gather here on Sundays. And we should see progress in our spiritual life when we gather. Karen and I built a house in Nashville about 10 years ago. And we would go out and we would notice what happened every day. And you know, when you're constructing something and they don't build it right, you do it again. You start over. We had this entertainment center that we tore out and redid about 10 times. Well, I thought it was the builder's fault, and I thought, well, I won't have to pay for that. Wrong. Right? But every time they'd mess something up, we'd go in and say, now listen, we wanted the light switch here, or we wanted the plug here, or we needed something here, or something here, or something here. And they would fix it. Because when you're under construction and when you're building something new, when something goes wrong, you try to fix it. As I prepare to worship, when I prepare to worship, how am I preparing? I should prepare to walk in this place and fix those things in my life that are under construction. I should be in a constant manner of fixing the things that are under construction in my life spiritually. I should get alone with God. I should check out my progress that I've made this week and to become that spiritual house that God is building me into being. Have you done that? Are you doing that? Now, progress doesn't mean that you don't have setbacks along the way. Progress doesn't mean that you don't have to tear something out. Just like in any other construction project, you make some mistakes along the way, you cut a board wrong, you put the fan in the wrong place, the switch in the wrong place, you hung the door wrong where it squeaks when you hang it. But once you notice it, you fix it. Once you notice the mistake, you fix it, you correct it. And as a Christian walking along this road, as a Christian along the way, we're going to make some mistakes. We call them sin. We fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And we make those mistakes, but the question then becomes, have we taken time to correct them? Have we taken time to fix them in our spiritual life? So if you take a look at the construction progress in your life and even the mistakes that you've made along the way, the question is there progress at the end of the day? Is there progress at the end of the week that you've worked on all week long? And we should see ourselves growing on a weekly basis. We are being built into this spiritual house. Are we seeing progress toward that spiritual house? Even with the mistakes I've made along the way, I have made progress in my Christian life. I am striving in this construction of my spiritual life. The answer to yours should be yes, I am making progress. And that should be on your name tag, that I am being built into a spiritual home, that I'm not there yet, that I'm under construction, but I'm making progress toward there. Thirdly, my name tag tells me that I am a servant of God. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. The first aspect of my name tag is to deal with how the world ought to see me. How should they see me? Rare, unique, uncommon, not like everybody else. I'm not just trying to blend in with the world. A stark contrast between me and the world. The second aspect of my name tag dealt with how I should see myself. In other words, how am I examining myself to see if I'm making progress in my spiritual journey? And now we come to this third point. And the third point of my name tag deals with my relationship with God. Did you know you are a priest? Did you know that? That's not my words. That's the Bible's words. It says, I'm a priest. It also says, I am a servant. Now, what did a priest do in the Old Testament? A priest served at the pleasure of God. And in the New Testament saints and priests are to serve at the pleasure of God. To serve at the pleasure of God. And interestingly enough to me, I believe, this is Billy talking, but I believe that the New Testament church has this concept backwards. I believe we in 2017, today's church believes that God is here to serve at the pleasure of the people. I believe we live that way. We live as God is to serve us. And yet Peter is reminding us that we are the ones that should be offering the spiritual sacrifices to God. And yet we people only want God when we need God, when we need God to serve us. When something's going awry in our life and we need God, we call upon God. When we don't like how things are going, we call upon God. The Bible says that we should be the one serving God, not expecting God to serve us. I know there's some people in the New Testament church today that sit in their pew and they're waiting on God to serve them. Or they're sitting in their pew and they're waiting on the pastor to serve them or whomever to serve them. Folks, that's not why you're here. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches in all that we do, we are to serve God. In all that we do, we are to serve God. In all that we do, we are to serve God. Now think about what that means. That means in all, in everything, we are to serve God. In all things, we are to serve God. Not in the things that we choose. In all things, we are to serve God. How about you today? Is that where you are? In all things, I am serving God. I am a servant, and I serve to the pleasure of an almighty God. Or are you waiting on God to serve you? You say, well, what are some of those spiritual sacrifices that we can offer God? Let me tell you the first one. The first one is surrender. Surrender. Which is not taught in our culture, because our culture teaches you to hang on for dear life and work for everything you have and be tough and be smart and do it all yourself and don't surrender. Never surrender. Never say uncle. And now we're asking, or he's asking us, hey, surrender. Turn it loose. That's why it's hard, because it has nothing to do with us. And we're not used to that. We're used to having to work our way to the top. It has nothing to do with us. A spiritual sacrifice would be that I surrender. Surrender what? Surrender my life. Surrender my heart, my soul. Surrender everything about me. Surrender. Surrender. Say uncle. And let God take over. What a spiritual sacrifice that would be. What a redeeming life that is when one comes to the place of surrendering. You know what? I can't do this anymore. You know what? I can't do it on my own. How many times have we said that? How many times? So my sacrifice is to surrender. How about obedience? Is that a spiritual sacrifice? How about praising God? Is that a spiritual sacrifice? How about praying to God? Is that a spiritual sacrifice? How about your material possessions? Is that a spiritual sacrifice? How about witnessing? Is that a spiritual sacrifice? And the answer to all of those is absolutely yes. All of those things are spiritual sacrifices. But listen, it begins on the doorstep of surrender. If you will not surrender, you will not do all those other things.
And so in my mind, our name tag's walking around here today because we don't have people witnessing. Let's be honest, do we? We don't have people witnessing constantly. We don't have that. We don't have people constantly being obedient. We don't have people that have constantly praying and praising God. You know why? Because they haven't surrendered. That's honest, isn't it? Because we haven't cut it loose. Because we will not say uncle. We're not going to do that. Because I'm hanging on to the money I made. And I'm hanging on to my material possessions. And I'm in charge of this and this and this and this and this. And listen, let me remind you of something. No, you're not. That hurts, doesn't it? Boy, it hurts me. It hurts me. Because I'm kind of a prideful guy myself. Aren't you? I like all that stuff. I don't want to surrender to anything. I'm too competitive for that. I want to win. It's not about that. It's about, first of all, surrendering the spiritual sacrifice. So my name tag says I am a living stone. That's what it says. It says I am being built into a spiritual house. And now what does it say last on this third one? It says I am a servant of God. What does that mean? I have surrendered. That's what it means. And unfortunately, too many name tags, I believe, do not have anything about surrender on them.
And finally, thank God for verse 6. My name tag tells me that I'm a winner. That the story's been written. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. You see, we have a promise. We have a promise that when this life is over and all is said and done, that we're going to be winners. The end of the story's already been written. We will have our live our lives the way that we should have lived, and we will end up on the victorious side of heaven. There are no questions about it. It's not even an issue. It's not up for discussion. It is because God says it is. The Bible says that we will never, I like that, we will never be put to shame. Did you catch that? We will never be put to shame. Who? Those who have surrendered. Those who are the living stones. Those who are being constructed into their spiritual home. Those who have surrendered to Christ and say, I am a servant of the Almighty God. You will never, never, ever be put to shame. That ought to make you clap or something. Right? Wow. Never. The Bible says we can count on that promise. And we can count on that promise because of who the living stone is. The living stone is Jesus Christ. The living stone is Jesus Christ. So the question you must ask yourself this morning, do you live what your name tag says? Do you live it? In your spiritual life, what does your name tag say? Does your name tag say, I have surrendered? Does it really say that? And your audio matches your video, that I have surrendered. Because I'm going to say for most of us, that's not true. Because we like to hold on and do our own thing and have our own ideas. We love doing all of that. But folks, you're not going to be obedient. You're not going to be a prayer warrior. You're not going to do any of those things that God wants you to do until you have surrendered. So my prayer this morning is Second Baptist Church, his name tag says that we are a living stone and that we're being constructed, being built
into this spiritual home that the Lord calls us to be built in, and that we have surrendered. In other words, that we are nothing but servants for God. That's what we are. God's not here to serve us. God doesn't need us. We are here to serve God.
Would you check your name tag this morning? Would you find out what it really says? Not what you think it says, not what you want it to say, but what does it really say about who you are in your spiritual walk? Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Father, I pray that each of us would check our own spiritual name tag and ask ourselves, are we different than the world? Are we unique? Not in and of ourselves, Father, but because we have you in our lives. Father, are we being constructed into our spiritual house? And not only but are we fixing the construction along the way? The things in our life that need to be fixed, Father, are we doing those things? And then, Father, are we a servant of an almighty God? Are we asking God to serve us? Maybe we would ask ourselves what our name tags say, Father. Maybe our church and the people of this Second Baptist Fellowship would ask ourselves, what is our name tag say for our fellowship? And Father, that we would repent, that we would turn away from, and Father, that we would fully surrender so that we may be obedient, so that we may be a prayer warrior, so that we may do those things that you've called us to do. Father, may we be honest inside of our own selves this morning. We'll give you the honor and glory. Christ's name. You stand with me this morning. We'll have the altar open this morning and come and pray.